Like a Hozier song, a Frank Castle / Matt Murdock fic, written by Burden with pointless purpose and read by 42 Do Not Panic. This fic is rated M and no archive warning supply. Summary. Matt never expected for Frank Castle to end up on his couch for months on end. He'd never expected to make a home with him, but nothing is as he'd planned. Life isn't neat like that, and his friend gets that more than anyone else ever has. It's the reason he's a little sweet on his friend, like the Hozier song the guys likes to sing. If you're drunk on life, babe, I think it's great. But while in this world, I think I'll take my whiskey and leave my coffee back in my bed at three. It's funny how a few simple things can make your house a home, or in his case, an apartment into a sanctuary. Back when Foggy lived with him, it was just an apartment, though. A place for two tired lawyers with basically no income to crush after shuffling through paperwork for 15 hours. Now his apartment is finally a home. A place Matt goes to at the end of the day, not because he has to or even needs to, but because he wants to. Once he steps through the door, he can let the stress of the day melt away and find peace in one thing. Frank Castle. The Punisher. The fellow vigilante once upon a time. The Marine with serious issues that needed someone who understands. The guy who stayed over a few times, then kind of just forgot to leave. Matt understands, at least to a degree. He got lonely after Foggy finally left for good. Nelson and Murdock, nothing more than the foolish dream of two inexperienced law students wanting to make a difference in the world. Oh, the naive 20-year-olds they had been. Life was living and learning, though. He definitely learned. The depression Matt went through was as real as life itself. He threw himself into being the daredevil to an admittedly suicidal level. It took a knife in the kidney, a broken ankle, and a full set of bruised ribs for him to recognize that. Maybe with a little guidance towards the subject too. Of course, the latter came from Frank stitching him up like any brother in arms would. Foggy threatened to turn him in after stopping by to check on him, because he was the poor, sad, orphaned blind guy with no one in his life again. The war of words they'd had wasn't pretty, and Matt knows the two of them will never be the same. As if he didn't already know that, with his old friend living the high-rise life as a big-shot corporate lawyer. Exactly the thing they said they would never become. Unlike with Foggy, Frank's moving in with him had been a lot more subtle, a natural progression. Matt had pretended not to notice at first. He didn't notice the way the guy's stuff somehow started to spread from the one duffel bag he always had slung over his shoulder, the zip-duck fabric that held his entire life from before. Frank hadn't cared that he was a daredevil. The guy hadn't cared one damn bit, probably because he'd been the Punisher. Law and order, like life as a whole, was made of shade of gray to him. No, to both of them. Each of them had even gone the lawful way in their desire to make the world a better place. Paths had failed spectacularly, leading them to where they were now, an ex-lawyer and discharged Marine. Both failures at their lifelong dreams. Two tired guys, unsure what else to do in the world if it's not vigilante work. Actually, that is a lie. Frank had figured out what he could do for him as he fought the urge to never leave his bed again. Matt had been hesitant, but in the end, forever grateful. Although, thinking some UFC recruit is going to be headhunting amongst underground street fighting clubs in Hell's Kitchen is a bit much. It turned out, the man is a dreamer as much as he is a realist. Frank hasn't found his new life past an unspoken home with him. Matt thinks he has, but leave it be to the man to think he is nothing more in the world than another broken veteran. A statistic. The sad truth that even he can't argue. However he does argue, his friend can be more. Hell, he already is more as much as he wants to deny it. The first time Matt heard Frank playing the guitar in his living room, almost a month after sleeping on his couch, he hadn't known what to think of it. He could hear everything about the instrument. Every move of the string, bounce or tap against the wood body, a vibration making it through the air to him is more than just sound. It was a feeling, a warm one that did strange things to his chest in a way live bands or even the radio didn't. It might have been the way Frank hummed as he played the guitar, a low-key sound and soft blanket that coated his skin under the waves moving around him. Matt had taken his doubt about the instrument being casually filled with in his home at random, throwing it out the window just at the idea of the guy actually singing. something that had taken a lot of lawyer talk to get him to do. Matt appreciates the sound now. All the way from the bottom of the stairs, he hadn't even started up yet. Frank's singing voice isn't rough like when he talks. It's rich and smooth, deep with a passion that sinks down the fibers of every muscle. Frank had bought the used guitar in Central Park for $30, along with a few other things. One being a painting that sits atop Matt's living room bookshelf. It's almost like the instrument itself, a thrown-away item with a whole lot of meaning one wouldn't expect. The guy doesn't even know both have the same effect on him, even if it's for different reasons they've barely addressed on late nights. Early mornings, technically, for the average human. It's not the worth of the painting that matters to either of them. Colors, style, or skill, Frank and him could both care less about the specifics. Just like the music, it's all about the texture they can both sense that goes deeper than others' opinions. Matt can feel every layer of paint when he touches the art, portrayed, the soldier standing in the rain without a flag, alone in the desert of all places, an irony that is lost to no one, especially Frank. He's expressed how that speaks to him as a veteran many times. A visual display for him of his own life. A soldier who returned home alone. A soldier unable to leave despite his orders. A soldier stuck in his uniform, while forced to live a life that didn't exist in any version of the world he'd known, like rain in the desert. Frank could mourn that life, both parts of his life, forever, and no one would really blame him. The man doesn't, though. No, he spends his time now building something unintentionally as they try to find their place in the world neither of them had planned for. A thing Matt hadn't had since he was 9 years old. Home. The home is full of feelings, no matter the pain a lot of it originally stemmed from. It's emotion, connection, from the way the two of them can understand one another. Matt hasn't found enough nerve yet to broach the topic, but in the way two lovers ideally would. A thought that makes his throat threaten to close up every time he knows Frank is sleeping on the couch instead of in the cocoon that is his tried and true bed. Smiling softly as he opens the door, Matt sets his cane against the wall. Removing his glasses, he sits them on the mail table where he'd always preferred them. Months ago, he'd started taking them off around Frank because the man isn't like most people. Anyone, actually. Matt doesn't need sight to know when people are staring at him. He knows what uncomfortable feels like. What it sounds like, even. And that doesn't have anything to do with their breathing or heartbeat. Facts that make it worse, although he's long learned to just accept it. After all, there's nothing he can do about it. Everyone's problem with his disability is that he's young. He doesn't fit the stereotypical decrepit old blind man people automatically think of. It's because as their eyes process the sight of him, they don't like to think it could happen to them. Matt knows all of this because it's been his reality for 20 years. He doesn't fit the average person's definition of normal. All simply due to the fact his eyes don't focus or process light. Part of his body is chemically damaged permanently, which makes people uncomfortable. It depends on its mood, maybe maturity, but sometimes he's glad the world they think exists where it's only old people that are blind is being stretched just by the sight of him. The world isn't what people want it to be, no matter how bad they wish it could be. Frank doesn't get uncomfortable with him or his disability. Matt kind of loved him for that from the beginning. A love that's less than what he feels now. No, the love now is better because living with the guy just proved to him what kind of man he is inside. It's not the one people assume. Like him, the veteran is on the inside. A few days a week, every week for the last 2 months, Frank spends time with veterans that have missing limbs, burns, bullet wounds, and blast injuries. The people that don't like looking at him don't like looking at them either. It's once again a reminder of things they don't want to acknowledge. Soldiers that they think are strong and brave, guided by God himself, don't always come home. If they do, well, most aren't usually the same person they once were. Mental scars sometimes run deeper and are more debilitating than the physical ones. Facts that people like ignoring entirely because they can't even see those usually. Everything for them goes under one big PTSD umbrella when they do though, because it's easier that way. It's rare for veterans to get the individualized support they need to learn how to live with a disorder. Matt thinks it's cruel veterans don't get the help they need. It's another flaw in the broken system. Some people ended up with a disorder, literally fighting for their country. one that can't even put in the time or energy to help those that fought in the field for them. Veterans are the kind he would have liked to help in what had once been Nelson and Murdoch. Frank tries to help his fellow veterans in his own way. He listens to them mostly. All of them are used to being talked to like good soldiers standing in line instead of being hurt. A lot of veterans get told they're being radically discharged from the Marines. Veterans get told their service is appreciated. Soldiers like Frank get told what's wrong with them and they get told to go home, where they are just supposed to find a way to magically live with what they've unexpectedly been through. You're a civilian now. Frank had told him how much those words had burned, like a branding iron to his skin. Matt knows how much he resents that statement now and how often he's considered defying them, namely in the form of enlisting again under a different alias. Being the Punisher had really scratched that itch, though, because he got more done than he ever had as a soldier. Matt understood the desire, the urge, and the want. It was what he'd indulged the year of street fighting. Mixed martial arts. Anything but boxing, because he wasn't uniform enough in his heart to stick to regulations. Murdoch didn't stay down as much as they might have wanted to. A part of his genetic makeup that had led to being the daredevil of Hell's Kitchen. It was a surprising trait, the inability to stay down as long as they wished they could, that Frank and him shared. The longing to make a difference, even though they've both gone about it in such different ways. Matt found himself admiring that, though, because, in a cliché way, it felt like they were two sides of the same coin that had finally come together. Walking into the living room, Matt listens to the steady beat of Frank's heart under the slow melody he sings. It's honestly surprising to find him up so early. 7 p.m. might as well be 5 a.m. in their world. Well, his roommates, since he does occasionally volunteer boxing lessons at the gym. Boxing gloves feel like a suit and tie. A lie masking the truth. Trying to make something pretty. Exactly what it's not. Insomnia isn't pretty either. It means more frequently than not there are bags under their eyes and coffee black enough to be poor sin in their hands. The stuff that flows through the rivers of hell. A dark flood of fire meant to keep you awake forever. Majority of the time, it works. Unpredictable sleep schedules kind of came with both of their jobs. The real-life ones and the undercover ones. Any time they didn't have to worry about a schedule, though, trauma left them in a state of restless sleep that provided little refreshing. Either due to nightmares or paranoia. Needless to say, Frank and him were both light sleepers. Luckily, both of their hobbies that just happened to pull in enough to live comfortably with their low standards played into their issue. Street fighting isn't exactly found in broad daylight. Strumming through bars because Frank needs a few to play for a crowd. Sure, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, but people aren't out for live music to dance to with drinks at noon in New York City. Unless it's some kind of festival. Matt got a long way to go before he can talk Frank into play seriously. As if he can actually go somewhere with his talent. Just a pastime of his from his teenage years. Like all kids hoping to make it in a band. He's argued the guy doesn't need anything besides his guitar and voice. The man calls him cute for thinking that, often with a pat on the cheek or something light tossed at his forehead. One day, Matt will get his friend to do it. The same way a light dinner out at a hole in the wall where a gig didn't show resulted in Frank with a microphone in his hand singing Hozier for the crowd. Of course, it had taken a bet involving the laundry, which his friend loathed doing. Thankfully, Frank had been in a perky mood with a few drinks already under his belt. A lot of cash being tossed his way towards the end of the song had helped too. The guy had expressed that it made him feel like a stripper. Shockingly, a good thing, which Matt could have never predicted. It was pretty on theme for their life.
You just gonna stand there? Frank sang as if it were a lyric to the song.
Maybe, Matt answered, deciding to make coffee to sober himself up because there was no chance he was going to be sleeping off his nice bus anytime soon. Frank has a serious gig tonight in an upper-class bar, by their standards anyway, just outside of Hell's Kitchen. Matt would practice for a while after that for a Thursday night fight. He had no plans on accidentally skipping either just because Foggy was no good for his mood anymore. What time is it anyways? Frank asked, no longer playing anything so much as just picking at the strings like he always did when deciding what to do next.
Almost 7, Matt answered, waiting for the coffee to start dripping. Do you want a drink?
Add a little cream today. I'm feeling good, Frank hummed, the lightness of his song still dancing on his vocal cords.
Have fun at the gym? Matt wanted to make a comment about not taking his coffee straight up black. If the man was feeling that good though today, he wasn't going to risk poking the bear, playfully or not. He would save that for afterwards. I love it when you're in the mood for cream. Matt couldn't help teasing, knowing he could get away with some lighthearted fun. Quit flirting and bring me the coffee, baby. Frank teased him back. Smirking, Matt set his cup down in favor of getting the hazelnut coffee creamer he liked out of the fridge. He lived for Frank being happy. Light. As if there wasn't a care in the world to be had when all they'd done was care too much. It was moments like that that showed everyone, not just him, how sweet the man was. Openly affectionate. How genuine was the level of affection they'd taken to showing each other slowly over the months? Matt wasn't sure. He actually didn't know if he wanted to know. At the very least, he knew Frank had enjoyed the company of men as well as women before he'd gotten married. The hope that gave him for his fairy tale life that he'd built in his head, fueled by their banter and emotional exchanges, was enough to satisfy him. Actually, Foggy wanted to go out for a few drinks after work to bitch about Marcy. Had to say no for all the wrong reasons. Matt confessed, putting up the cream and taking Frank's coffee. You know, minus the one. It was complicated, but he cared about Foggy when it counted. The same way his old friend cares about him on a basic level that comes from a decade plus of being best friends. Neither of them has it in them enough to try to care too much about each other, though. However, if they need someone to talk to, they will listen. Well, it's more like he's willing to listen, since a two-way street had always been more of a one-lane under construction type. Seriously, why doesn't he just end that bullshit? Frank scoffed, sliding his guitar off his lap and up to rest against the side of the couch before taking his drink from his hands. He needs to quit going back for seconds and being a living fucktoy. Frank couldn't stand Foggy's dramatics, specifically when the answer was so cut and dry from his perspective. Matt didn't disagree, but it wasn't his place anymore. Back when they'd been close, he tried to warn him Marcy would be no different to him than she had in college. It would have actually been a pretty easy gamble to say she'd be worse. The woman wasn't just a student with an ego anymore. She was far better, and at the same time, worse. Heading back for his own drink, Matt kept his thought to himself. He tried not to speak as badly about Foggy or his relationship as Frank did when they were mentioned. According to his roommate, Marcy was a stuck-up snotty bitch that thinks the world revolves around her and that people should be tripping over their feet to kneel for her. Lucky for everyone, the man had saved expression that for when they'd left the cafe. It was no secret that Foggy didn't approve of Frank. He didn't approve of his involvement, no matter what kind, in his life at all. Matt didn't argue with him, mostly because his opinion held no value. The guy didn't know the Frank he knew. How could he, when he didn't even know his oldest friend after all these years? Some people like being a sex toy, Matt commented lightly, trying to steer the conversation away from any potential irritation as he walked back over to join Frank on the couch. Are you speaking from experience here? Frank asked him. You're the stripper, he countered playfully. You're never going to let that go, are you? His friend sighed, and Matt smiled wildly. No, Matt answered simply, shamelessly. Frank muttered nothing decipherable under his breath in between drinks, but appreciated the burn of his own mug against his hand. It was the one his roommate had gotten him that was shaked like a butt. According to the man, it was what he got for being a smart ass, aka grade A bitch, before coffee. He simply responded that he wasn't going to say no to cupping something warm and firm in his hand if he was offering it. The flirting had begun shortly after that day. Matt didn't press it too hard as much as he wanted to, past occasionally offering it for Frank to join him in bed. Platonically, because there was no way sleeping on the couch this long was doing his body any favors. It wasn't like either of them were 20 anymore, having never gone through intense physical stress. You coming tonight? Frank asked after a minute of quietly enjoying their drinks. Do you want me to? Matt asked instead. As much as Matt wanted to hear every single song Frank sang, if the man didn't want him to go with him somewhere, he would respect that wish, unless he was in distress. Quite a few times as they lived together, his friend had left in a whirlwind of emotion, episodes pushing him forward until he crashed. The bright side of being able to slide through the shadows of the city was keeping a metaphorical eye on Frank. It didn't take too long for the episode to end once he was out of the apartment, all the noise, activity, sending him seeking the shelter he'd left. Matt was almost always there to get him back home with the simple comfort of the reassuring handhold. Since Matt didn't have PTSD, he didn't fully know what it felt like. The same way Frank would never know what it was actually like to be blind. Together, they'd learned enough from each other, though, and he knew firsthand someone usually just needed grounding. soft presence to bring them as calmly as they could out of the mental madness. Something about it felt honorable that he could provide that for Frank, the rawest form of his existence. Nothing more than simply Matthew Michael Murdock was all his friend needed to keep from spiraling into a pit of despair. An admittance that left him gooey inside when the man had explained it one rough night at 2 a.m. when lying on the floor, deeming defeated by the windows being pelted with raindrops. People with PTSD didn't typically want someone whispering things in their ears. They were hearing enough in their heads. People with PTSD didn't want to be grabbed or forced into anything, like they lately had been in their life and were experiencing once more. People just wanted a calm presence and the time to find themselves again. "My playlist might be special this time," Frank said in a way that sounded like a hint, regaining his attention from where he'd been wondering if the man was aware just how much he meant to him. Matt didn't know what Frank meant regarding his playlist being special, but he was curious. He supposed it was a special occasion, so of course his friend would pick the songs people liked the most to show off his skills. Words, lyrics, not even he had had the honor of hearing past the soothing hum that was their wake formation. "I think you'll like it," Frank continued when he didn't respond quickly enough. "I put a few of your favorites on the lineup." "Frank Castle, are you trying to tempt me?" Matt asked, throwing one leg over the other while wishing he'd thought to take his shoes off. "It's Hozier and Ex-Ambassadors," Frank told him with a snort. "I don't have to tempt. I think that right there was enough to make you drop your panties for the night." The funniest part was Frank wasn't wrong. It made a funny face to say that much, making the man beside him laugh. Who didn't want to drop their pants for either of them, specifically the former in his friend's low voice with words that hit them both so deep? "Too sweet and unsteady?" Matt inquired, willing to bet anything those two were on the list. Because Frank hit them with more passion than the artist himself, which said a lot. "Maybe work song, depending on the mood of the crowd." "I'm saving Unsteady for next to last," Frank elaborated. "Whatever their favorite is, I'm going to do a repeat for them to run off into the night with." "Oh, I'm definitely going to have to decide which panties to wear," Matt said with a nod, although they both knew he owned zero. Frank was perfectly aware Matt liked men. He teased him about some aspects, but he couldn't help hoping it was feeling him out more than anything. So, of course, he played along. It was Foggy's fault anyway from outing him, and since he wasn't ashamed or embarrassed, he took all of it in stride. Although the moment had been another final wedge in their friendship, because the guy had automatically assumed he was screwing the Punisher for the thrill, all over letting him sleep on his couch. "Pick a good pair," Frank said, scooting over enough to nudge his shoe with his knee gently. "I decided I'm going to play something extra special for you tonight." "Temptation to wooing," Matt said, lifting his chin and thankful Frank was incapable of hearing his heartbeat. "What are you playing at?" "You," Frank answered right away, simply like it didn't do things to him, like make him actually consider buying panties because he was perfectly capable of being a tease. "I know it drives you crazy that I don't play my own songs for you, but I have my reasons." "Stupid ones," Matt muttered before he could hold his tongue. "Hey, now, don't be a sourpuss," Frank scolded him with what was no doubt a smile. "Or I won't give you your song tonight." "My song?" Matt repeated, turning his head towards the man of fraction. "What exactly is my song? You already named my favorites." "Exactly," Frank said excitedly, placing a large hand on his thigh with a few sympathetic pats as if he were missing something obvious. "Maybe I shouldn't have given you that creamer," Matt mused, trying to make himself shoo Frank's hand off to help keep the personal space that was shrinking in their lives. "I haven't heard you this eager and happy since the weekend we decided to go to the circus in Pennsylvania Clint was working undercover in and his tights ripped mid-act." "Okay, that was hilarious. You have to admit that. I thought I was going to start crying. It was that good," Frank started to chuckle. "I think he finally realized he isn't a springy 17-year-old anymore. The tightrope kicked his ass." Clint Barton was a good friend to both of them. He wasn't as close to them as they were to each other, but he was a more understanding friend than Foggy had been. Maybe because he was disabled too. Unfortunately, as an Avenger and undercover agent, the man wasn't around often for them to all hang out. "Laughing at other people's pain," Matt said, failing to keep the fondness out of his voice. "How rude." "It's a reflex, okay?" Frank continued to laugh some, his shoulders shaking, causing the back of the couch to keep vibrating. "I don't mean it to do it. Usually anyways." Saying it was an automatic response for him was probably true. I had no reason to believe it wasn't, and he had known people like that before. The laugh just bubbled out before the moral part of their brain processed it as bad. Thankfully, he had a good poker face, if you ignored the tiny uplift on the left corner of his mouth that had a mind of his own. I promise not to laugh at you tonight, Frank said, taking a deep breath as he calmed himself down. Why would you laugh at me? Matt questioned, turning his upper body towards Frank. Because tonight's the night, Red, Frank declared vaguely, confidently. I'm going to sing things the way you like them, sweet and deep. By the end, you're not going to doubt me anymore. I don't doubt you, Matt corrected instantly, trying to think quickly about what Frank might mean. You do, Frank said, but it didn't sound bothered or offended. Tonight we're going to fix that. I'm going to give you your little song, and I'm going to watch you swoon. Swoon, Matt repeated, his eyebrows raising. We're adding cockiness to the list of creamer symptoms. Better try to get it out of your system before you have to play. I don't want that attitude to come back and bite you for this. As long as you're there, I'm pretty sure it won't, Frank said it firmly. Matt grit breathing for a second in favor of not inhaling sharply. It would have been too noticeable. Frank was officially trying to kill him from the inside out. The physical fights they had on the rooftop so long ago were nothing compared to sitting beside the guy he'd fallen in love with, talking the way he did to him. I'll be there any time you want me to, Matt said safely, broadly, after a few beats. Yeah, Frank replied, quieter than anyone else could have heard. I'm finally putting my money on that. The shuffling around he could hear, feel, was Frank scooting back over and up his guitar. He instantly strummed once it was in his lap. Matt tried not to overthink everything the man said, because sometimes things made sense to him in a different way, and he was trying to communicate without being direct. Other times, he was pretty sure his friend just liked fucking with people too. As the man's roommate, his safe haven, that meant him more often than not. Okay, more like always. Matt let everything go as Frank started to hum again. At first, he thought the wind was going to play too sweet for him, but it quickly turned into something else. One of those personal songs the guy liked to keep to himself. Supposedly just until tonight, finally. He didn't mind, though, because just like every day he came home anymore, the world melted away as the music traveled through the air. Song, Frank Castle, was exactly what made this place a home. You're too sweet.